Welcome today to Light of the Word Radio. Today's program, like always, is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This is Pastor Jim, and this message is one I preached at Christmas a couple years ago, and just hope that you enjoy it as we turn our attention to celebrating and sharing Jesus Christ with all who we meet. Luke 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. You know, I think I share this every year the last few years. My first Christmas message was in 1997. And since 1997, I have given a Christmas message, at least one, most years three or four, every single year since. And it doesn't get old. When somebody says, "Oh, it's that same text, we hear it every year," they don't know who this text is about, apparently. Because how could there be anything but joy to hear this message? And so today, as we go through it, I'm not going to spend a lot of time going into deep parts of particular verses. I just want us to see the whole picture today. I want us to hear from God. As we look at this, we see the registration, we see the census that was being taken, and Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem, and how God uses all things. We see things that wicked kings do. And believe me, Caesar Augustus was a wicked leader, but God uses them into his plan. God is in control. And his plan was to place Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem for the time of the birth of Christ. Why? Because it was prophesied. We looked at that prophecy last week. It was prophesied that it would be from Bethlehem that he would be born. So they take off for the census. Mary, big pregnant, and they get to Bethlehem. In verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And he went to be registered with Mary, who was with child. I remember when Cynthia started labor for Jimmy. We had gone through all the Lamaze classes, the natural childbirth classes, all that. One of the things that they said over and over again in those classes is that when the labor starts, you will want to try to get as much rest as you can between contractions. Because on your first child, it takes longer and it won't happen right away. So in the middle of the night, Cynthia wakes me up and she says, the contractions have started. I said, how far apart are they? She told me. I said, okay, let's go back to sleep. Wrong, yeah. She didn't appreciate my answer. Needless to say, we got up. Mary is there. Think about having to travel that distance through that kind of terrain. And she did not have a nice vehicle like we would today. But she got there because it was the plan of God. And the plan of God never changes by what man does. And the plan of God is never turned. So they get there. And verse 6 says, while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. It's time. We know when it's time, there is pain. There is contractions. Part of the curse was that there would be pain in childbirth. There is pain. There is contractions. There is the need of a place to stay. And while they were there in Bethlehem, she gave birth, it says in verse 7, to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. I hear all the time people wanting to correct, well, Christmas isn't really on December. He wasn't really born on December 25th. If he wanted us to have an exact date, he would have made it as clear as possible. We celebrate his birth on that day. And I don't care if it's December 25th, July 3rd, it doesn't matter. We are going to celebrate Jesus Christ. Because his birth, physically being able to see the plan of salvation. It is the Messiah that had been waited for so long. It is the Messiah. They had waited. They knew he was coming. This Messiah promised from clear back in Genesis chapter 3, his birth is important. And we're going to celebrate it. And I don't care when we celebrate it. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, we could celebrate it once every month, once every 3 months. We don't have to give gifts to each other. Let's just celebrate who Jesus Christ is, right? There's a song in our hymnal. It's called Celebrate Jesus. And that's what we need to be doing all the time. We need to be celebrating Jesus. And so these people who want to distract from Christmas by saying, oh, it wasn't December 25th. It couldn't have been. They give you all this mumbo jumbo. I don't care. Let's celebrate Christ. If you think it was in July, then let's do it in July too. But let's celebrate him. Let's make much of our Lord and Savior. Let's make his word known. Let's make him known. So her firstborn child, she wraps him in swaddling cloths. She wraps him in rags, friends. She wraps him up in what she has, strips of cloth. And where does she put him? In a beautiful cradle? No. She puts him in a feeding trough. In a feeding trough. And here's another thing that the distractors wanted to use. They say, oh, well, it wasn't in a stable. It was in a cutout of a cave. And then others say, well, no, it was out in the country. It wasn't in the town. So it was actually up against the hillside. Does it matter? Let's not be distracted by the message. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin, and he was wrapped up in cloth and laid in a manger. God put on flesh. We say incarnate. God put on flesh. Because Jesus Christ always was. This is not the beginning of Jesus. Christ Jesus did not come like you and I. His Father was the Holy Spirit. His Father is God. The Holy Spirit. She was a virgin. But from there, his birth was just like yours and I. He had to come through all of the strain that goes on every baby. Mary had to endure the labor pains and birth pains like every mother. And now, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is being laid into a feeding trough, into a manger, out where the animals are kept and fed. Silence. But Luke doesn't stop with his story there. Immediately in verse 8, he says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." That's what shepherds did. At this point, to the shepherds, this was just another night. They were there, they were prepared, they were on guard, but also relaxed. It was night. It was dark. They were ready for anything, at least they thought they were. Shepherds couldn't be fearful people. They had to stand against not only the elements, but they had to stand against any wild beast that would try to rob the flock. And so these shepherds are in the field. It's a dark, quiet night. Everything just kind of like normal. And everybody's kind of relaxed. And all of a sudden, verse 9, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." These are fearless men. Okay? These are men who are seasoned to face anything that would happen out there in the wilderness. And they were filled, seized with fear, being out in the wilderness on a quiet night. And all of a sudden, instead of getting darker, it's noonday bright and then some, because the glory of the Lord is shining around. I mean, You ever go outside after a fresh snow and the sun's shining bright? They call that snow blindness, right? We've heard that term. That has nothing on the glory of the Lord shining. And that's the kind of brightness that is all around the shepherds. And then in that brightness of the glory of the Lord is a figure. Now, if they had been reading some of the books that we have around today, they would have thought it was a UFO. But it was the angel of the Lord. And they were afraid. And quite frankly, rightly so, don't you think? Any of us who think that we're so brave that we would not be afraid are pretty foolish. Because there are some things to be afraid of, and that is one of them. So this angel of the Lord sees their fear. He knows their fear. Whenever Gabriel showed up, there was always fear. "Fear not," he said to Mary. "Fear not," he said to Joseph. Whenever he shows up, there's always fear. So what does he say here? Verse 10, "And the angel said to them, fear not." But he goes on from there. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." I kind of picture in my own mind, they heard him say that, it registered, but they're still stuck on the fear. They're still stuck on what is happening here. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Okay, now something has been said that clicks. They heard everything else, but now something clicks. These shepherds are kind of like the Galilean fishermen. Remember what people said about them when they would preach and they'd have these great things that they were saying and preaching? They say, "Well, these are uneducated Galileans or ignorant Galileans." You know what? The shepherds were considered below the Galileans. They were considered lower than those fishermen. But they knew, just like the fishermen knew, and just like you and I knew, that there is a Savior that they have been waiting for. There is a Messiah that has been promised. And they knew that Messiah was Christ the Lord. They may not have known the name Jesus yet, but they knew the term Christ the Lord, Messiah the Lord. They knew that name. Now something has been said that was greater than their fear to get their attention. Notice where the angel says that he was born. He doesn't say Bethlehem, or he doesn't say, like Luke did earlier, in the city of Bethlehem, but he just simply says the city of David. These shepherds, like the Galileans, and like many in the nation, knew what the city of David was and where it was. The angel didn't have to tell them in Bethlehem. Later on, we'll see that they say, well, let's go to Bethlehem. Because they knew. And they knew who Christ the Lord was prophesied to be. To go along with that, now maybe it's starting to register. As their mind has come off of the fear and has come on to the message, it's starting to register, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. We have a term that we call the good news, don't we? What's that term? The gospel. The gospel is the good news. So what is the gospel? The gospel is the story of Jesus Christ, isn't it? It is the story of His great glory. It is the story of His work. I bring you good news of great joy. My favorite catechism question that I use in preaching so often is from the Westminster Catechism, and it's the first question. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And I know I've shared this with you, but it's important to share it again. We miss the enjoying God because we haven't got the joy in God. Typically, I'd say that that's because we do not know Him. We do not know the good news. Because if we knew the good news, we would never think of anything from the Scripture as being old hat. As I've heard this before. In Charlie Brown Christmas, Linus tells the same story every year, and it's wonderful every year, isn't it? And it never gets old. This is not a once-a-year story. This is something we need to be telling everybody we meet. So now the angel has the full attention of the shepherds. Not that he didn't have their attention, but they weren't hearing him, I don't believe, to begin with. But now they're listening. And the thing that the Jews always did, and we have this today too, is they always wanted proof. What would they ask Jesus? Well, what sign are you going to give us that this is true? What sign are you going to give us? Or in other words, prove it. The shepherds didn't even have to ask. Because the Lord God knows the heart of man. And in knowing the heart of man, the angel was prepared to tell them what the sign was. Just like when Nicodemus came to Jesus. He was wanting to know about eternal life. But before he really asked anything, Jesus said, you must be born again. And headed the conversation down that path. So in verse 12, the angel says, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. You mean night becoming day and an angel talking to you wasn't enough of a sign? It's amazing how the heart that does not know Christ can see the most obvious, clear things about Him and miss them. More homes than I care to know this Christmas will not bring up the name of Jesus Christ. But Christmas, the time of giving and love, is what they'll be celebrating. More homes than I care to know who do use the name of Jesus will be talking about a Jesus that they have created in their own minds. A Jesus that they have built in their own image because they do not know the true Christ. This is not my indictment on them. This is my pity for them and my prayer that God would open their eyes and that they would truly know what it is that we are celebrating in Christmas. So the angel tells them the sign, and the sign is the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, laying in a manger as a baby. And as he says that, all of a sudden, it says suddenly, and suddenly means immediately or without warning. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, I just want to get this picture. First, there's all this brightness and the angel of the Lord. And I believe the multitude of heavenly hosts is a number that cannot be counted. It wasn't 144,000 angels, 144,000 heavenly hosts. It was a multitude that those shepherds could not understand or comprehend. It was as if the whole world was in the sky. And they're saying, all of them, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among those whom He is pleased. Many years ago, this verse 14, God opened my eyes of understanding. I had read that verse so many times and missed with whom He is pleased. Can man please God? Is there something about you that pleases God? The only thing about you that pleases God is the love that He has placed on you for no reason. And the only thing in that pleases Him is the blood of Christ or the righteousness of Christ that you are covered in. Does everybody have this? Well, they wouldn't have to say among those whom He is pleased if it was for everybody. This is for those who are saved. Those who are born again. There's a lot of ways we say it. Those who are truly Christians. Those who are the elect. Those who are the chosen. However you want to put it, that's who this is for. We have a saying, and I think I used this last week or the week before, and it applies here again, that there are two calls. There is the general call that goes out to everybody. Everybody is called to Christ Jesus. Romans 3 tells us nobody answered the call. No one seeks. No one does good. So there is a second. From before the foundations of the world, God's love was placed on those whom He was pleased. And again, He was pleased in them because of what He did. And that's the effectual call. That's the call that cannot be resisted. That's the call that changes us because it opens our eyes. That's the call that comes with regeneration. So after this amazing scene, but just as quickly as Gabriel had appeared, as quickly as the multitude had appeared, they were gone. If it had been one shepherd out there, he might have thought to himself, that was a strange dream, but there were many shepherds. And as the angels disappeared, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They too were watching and waiting for a Savior. They too were waiting for the Messiah. Verse 16 says, and they went with haste. They went right away and quickly. And they found Mary and they found Joseph and they found the baby laying in the manger, just as it had been told to them. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They were told by these heavenly hosts, by the angel, and again, I believe that angel's Gabriel. They were told by Gabriel exactly what they would see. And so they go, and that's what the scene is. That's what they see. And they begin to tell those who are there about it. And I believe, because of the way the text is written, that there was more than just the shepherds and Mary and Joseph there. As Mary gave birth, I believe that it drew the attention of some who were in the area. And why do I believe that? Verse 18, and all who heard it pondered at what the shepherds had told them. So all that heard it, first we have the shepherds are taken out because the shepherds are the one doing the telling, right? And is Mary and Joseph all? Why did he just say Mary and Joseph? Because it indicates that there was more than just Mary and Joseph at this point when the shepherds got there. Now, whether they were there because of what they heard in the birth of Christ, or whether they were there because they were curious about what all these shepherds were doing in town, there were others who were there, and their curiosity was raised. Think about curiosity. Sometimes it leads us in Scripture to truth, and sometimes we just let it go with our own made-up understanding about curiosity of spiritual things. But whatever, they wondered about what the shepherds had told them. In verse 19, but Mary, she treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart, just continuing to think through everything that God had shown her. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard, seen, and been told. Or it could read, just as it had been told, is what they're saying. When we truly, with spiritual eyes, see the Lord Jesus Christ, when we truly see Him, we cannot help but glorify Him. They were glorifying God and they were praising Him. When we see and know the Lord Christ, We're going to glorify Him and we're going to praise Him. It isn't something that you go to Sunday school and learn how to do. It isn't something that you need lessons for. When you see it, you will do it because of who He is and what has happened in you to give you those spiritual eyes to see. You will glorify Him. You will praise Him. For what? For all that you have heard and seen spiritually. There were people who knew of the birth of this child and heard these things, but they didn't have spiritual ears and they never heard from again. There were people who were standing there yelling, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," on what we call Palm Sunday. They were shouting these things out because they were part of the crowd, not because they had eyes to see. Because when you have eyes to see, it becomes consuming fire. Has anyone ever burnt a dried old Christmas tree? When you put a dried old Christmas tree and flame together, this is what happens. Poof! I mean, it takes off. It just goes. It's a lot of fun. It burns fast and furious. That's what happens when you truly know Christ. It burns fast and furious. And that flame has to be seen by others. You can't help for it not to be seen. And when it's not seen in us, we need to examine ourselves. Why am I not revealing Christ in all that I say and do? Especially to the brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't matter the denomination. It doesn't matter the location. It matters the fire of Christ within you. These shepherds had that fire. I just picture in my mind, you know, I'm a picture person. I picture in my mind these shepherds as they're leaving, every person they saw going up to and telling them. There was a church several years ago that some of the folks from Trinity Baptist went there for a conference. The ones that went there still remember this. Everyone they met at this church, and I believe it was in Missouri also, everyone they met at this church would say, "Can I tell you the greatest thing that ever happened to me?" And then start to tell the story of what Christ did in their life. I feel like the shepherds are doing something along that line. Gotta tell you this. Gotta tell you this. Christ was born. We're celebrating his birthday. Gotta tell you this. We have become conditioned not to share the greatest story ever told because we're afraid something bad's going to happen. Somebody's going to dislike us. I can be as nice as I want to somebody and to do everything they want me to do, and they still dislike me. And believe it or not, they probably dislike you too if you belong to Jesus Christ. So tell them anyway. Don't worry about the consequences. Or maybe I should say worry about the spiritual consequences that you do not put Christ over the programming of this world in your life. When I was still in secular work and in sales, I talked to everyone about Christ. More than once, the question was asked, "Well, what if you get fired for it? I get another job because there's not another Savior. So if I got to give up my job or my Savior, guess what's going?" But yet we have been programmed and taught, don't talk about it. We should be talking about it with everyone. Well, friends, thank you for tuning in today, and we hope you've enjoyed today's Christmas message. This week, as you are celebrating Christmas, may all our attention, all our eyes, all our heart be turned to Him. And what greater time of year is there for us to be able to say, "Merry Christmas, can I tell you about Jesus Christ?" Once again, thank you for tuning in with us today. We do wish you a Merry Christmas. If you would like to contact us for any reason, you can write to us at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535, or you can call us at 1-800-416-9352. Light of the Word Radio is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.